In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
And here we are again, public reading of Scripture, PRS to be short, The Lost Art Within the Church, listening to God's Word. You know, they used to do that before the printing press. The Gutenberg printing press is what changed the world. But until then, people would go to church and listen to the Word of God. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but for centuries, they would read and they would commit themselves to memory. Oral law in the ancient Jewish method, still being used in different religions around the world. In the first century, when the epistles specifically were distributed among the known regions, they would be read in their entirety from the front. Just a little quick story for you. Let's open up the chat. Let's get some feel for the community here. You know, when I was in Europe in the 80s, we used to smuggle Bibles into the Eastern communist countries. Remember when Eastern Europe used to be communist? And certain churches lacked Bibles, and so they would tear sections, chapters, and books. So they had multiple choice for the people who would sign out for the week, let's say the book of Ephesians. So they would have it. And then the following week, they would take Galatians while somebody else got Ephesians and so on. I remember taking a load into Poland and unloading in the pastor's house, and he was in tears and he just wanted to give us gifts. I was with another American guy and a German guy. Now today, you can just get it on an app for free in any language, basically. And by the way, we are privileged, we are honored to have the Word of God and to listen to it. So it's good to be back. I was in Israel last week, and it's good to see you all. Oh, Arlene, are you from Lee's Summit? Did we see you a few weeks ago? Peggy from Pennsylvania. I like the chat room open. Debbie Kunde from Saskatchewan, Canada. A light up there in the somewhat dark spiritual country of Canada. You know, Suzanne Morrison, ready to hear the good news, are you, from San Jose? Z14Z57, Oklahoma, good evening to you. May the Holy Spirit guide us. Eureka Springs, Arkansas, Cheryl Baker, good to see you again. As you can see, I'm in the chat mood, and what we're going to do, here's the plan of action. We're going to open up Job, we'll read a chapter, and then we'll have a discussion, and then we'll read the second chapter, which is Job 30 and 31, actually. And we're going to be nice and laid back this evening. Let's do it as a community, as if we were in a small group setting, even though this is a big group. We got 159 people in the room right now. So, Pamela Privet, Indiana. Rebecca Day, Ohio. Kimberly Pauly, Iowa, our neighbor to the south. We love you guys. South Africa, Nellie. Must be the middle of the night there. Now, everybody look at this. Kimberly Pauly. Oh, no, sorry. Nellie from South Africa is in, I think, is it 3 a.m. your time? That's commitment. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Bless the word now. Bless the hearing of the word and challenge us with the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it distracting if I leave the chat room open while I read? I wonder. What's your opinion on that? While somebody voices the opinion. Yeah. Okay. Let's remove the chat and we'll come back. Job chapter 30. I'm going to do the best job I can. We're reading from the New King James Version. Let's sit back and relax. This is part where we left off last week with Amir. We read chapter 29. Job is continuing in what we call his defense, his summary defense. I'm a little nervous tonight for some reason. I don't know why. It's like I'm on a stage or something. But I have to remind myself I'm with family. But now they mock at me, men younger than I, whose fathers I disdain to put with the dogs of my flock. Indeed, what profit is the strength of their hands to me? Obviously none. Their vigor has perished. They are gaunt from want and famine, fleeing late into the wilderness, desolate and waste, who pluck mallow by the bushes and broom tree roots for their food. They were driven out from among men. They shouted at them as at a thief. They had to live with the clefts of the valleys, in caves of the earth and the rocks. Among the bushes they brayed. Some new English words maybe for some of you. Under the nettles they nestled. They were sons of fools. Yes, sons of vile men. They were scourged from the land, and now I am their taunting song. Yes, I am their byword. Remind me to come back to this, because there's a modern parallel to all of this today, literally. They abhor me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to spit in my face, because he has loosed my bowstring and afflicted me. They have cast off restraint before me. At my night hand, the rabble arises. They push away my feet and they raise against me their ways of destruction. They break up my path. They promote my calamity. They have no helper. They come as broad breakers under the ruinous storm. They roll along. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my honor as the wind, and my prosperity has passed like a cloud. And now my soul is poured out because of my plight. The days of affliction take hold of me. My bones are pierced in me all night, or at night, and my gnawing pains take no rest. By great force, my garment is disfigured. It binds me about as the collar of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up and you regard me, but you have become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you oppose me. You lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride on it. You spoil my success. For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Surely he would not stretch out his hand against a heap of ruins if they cry out when he destroys it. Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? But when I looked for good, evil came to me. So unfair, huh? And when I waited for light, then came darkness. My heart is in turmoil and cannot rest. My days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning, but not in the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. I'm a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. My skin grows black and falls from me. My bones burn with fever. My harp is turned to mourning and my flute to the voice of those who weep. Oh, we have discussed over the last months how he views this as an affliction clearly allowed by God. He sees that he's not done what his friends think he's done, which is sin. As I was about to say, have you ever noticed that people don't change in terms of sin and method? Have you ever noticed that when somebody who is righteous and honorable and godly, somebody that people look up to for better or worse, when they fall from grace, so to speak, the wicked rejoice. You know, the wicked even betray. I remember when Britney Spears went through her debacle, when Michael Jackson went through his debacle. I don't care about these. I never was fans of really either of them, but they both had people chewing and gnawing and reveling in their failure and in their demise. When a pastor falls, the whole world blows up. When somebody gets sick that's popular, the gossip starts. And the higher you go in popularity and fame, the tendency of the sinful nature of humans and even people that you thought you could count on dries up. So, something to think about. What are your thoughts on this as we contemplate this last chapter? We have agreed that when you take your frustrations anywhere, it should be to God, even if you want to vent on God. There are so many other unhealthy ways to do that. Good to see you all tonight. And it's a slow chat tonight. What's going on, guys? Let's see what your thoughts are on what would you think at this stage where your friends basically have been cut off. You've lost all your family, all your belongings. You've become a laughingstock in the public eye. Before all of this, you were honorable. And people spoke highly of you. And even God, he doesn't know what God's intentions are. Gina Marie, many judge when you're going through trials. It's important not to do so. We may be going through a Job season and done nothing wrong, simply God's sovereign plan. There's tendency to want to believe that everything bad that happens, we have brought on ourselves by sin. How do you know if your suffering is related to sin or if it's just happen chance or God's trial? Or how do you know? The media especially loves to build people up and then tear them down. Maybe it's a power trip thing. Maybe it is. People minus Jesus equals lack of understanding and mercy. Without God, there is no truth. Yeah, Kim. Makes you wonder how many so-called believers are truly walking with grace. Because, you know, we have a tendency in the church with professing Christians to eat up each other as well. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Job 30:26, since my daughter house fire, I feel like no matter how much I look for good, I can't find it. Yeah, so we're starting to get honest here. Melissa Garber, shalom. Bokeh, you understand Hebrew? Arlene Blake, sadly, I was not able to be there in person, but I was blessed to watch online. Yeah. Okay, so that was cool. So you saw what we had to say. Gnarly news. I think it's 40 verse 12 where Esau spring termites. Neither of any of them said anything true about God and was upset with him for that. Yeah. Deborah Manson, I've been judged by family with trials. I was told it was God's wrath. Really? Somebody goes through something difficult. Show at least some questioning of, okay, how can I minister to this person regardless? We need to do that. Suffering and trials and comfort in Jesus alone. Yep. And those who have had Jesus comfort them understand that. Melissa, I understand some, Mike. Yeah. Well, I only understand some as well. Skies on high, it's already happened and happening before. I help so much, a lot of people, but God. How do you stay in the game when people within the church wound you? A lot of people leave. A lot of people lose their faith. Job won't. We know the end of the story, but let's keep going. I'm going to shut the now everybody's talking right before we read. Jennifer, I know when I've sinned most of the time, I trust him with my pain and despair, but I still cry and yell and ask why, God. But if I have strength, I set my eyes on heaven and where is all going to end up for me eventually? Renee Cross has been there. Hopefully, after this next chapter, we're going to get some volume in the chat. See, this is where we're getting real. All right. Let's go to chapter 31. He continues. This is the continue of what he was saying earlier. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above? And the inheritance of the Almighty from on high. So he was even sexually purer. He was faithful to his wife. He was disciplined with his eyes. And yet even this happened. It is not destruction for the wicked and despair and disaster for the workers of iniquity. Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighted on honest scales that God may know my integrity. You ever felt like that? What's wrong? What did I do? Where? I don't see it. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. It's fair. Find my fault and I will own it. Punish me for that. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I've lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another. Of course, it didn't happen, but if that's the truth, then I'm welcoming all of this retribution. Somebody tell me what I've done wrong. And let others bow down over her. For that would be wickedness. Yes, it would be iniquity deserving of judgment. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servant when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? If I've kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself so that the fatherless could not eat of it, but from my youth I reared as him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he was not warned with the fleece of my sheep, if I've raised my hand against the fatherless, when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder. Let my arm be torn from the socket. For destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. If I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence, if I have rejoiced because of my wealth was great, and because my hand gained so much, if I have observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be iniquity deserving of judgment. If somebody tell me what I've done wrong. For I have denied God who is above. If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, indeed I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul. If the men of my tent have not said, who is there that has been satisfied with his meat, but no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. But I've covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept silence and did not go out the door. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Oh, that I had somebody to listen. someone to understand. I don't understand anything going on in my life. That's what he's thinking. Tell me what I've done wrong. Just give me a clue. Give me something. This whole thing is absorbing me. I'm consumed by it. Psychologically, spiritually, physically. Have you ever been there? Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me. You pray and pray and pray. That my prosecutor had written a book, surely I would carry it on my shoulder and bind it on me like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. If my land cries out against me and its furrows weep together, if I have eaten its fruit without money or caused its owners to lose their lives, then let the thistles grow instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. Venting. You can vent when you lose over and over again. And then after you've lost over and over and over again, you lose even more. And it's like a stack of bricks on the back that weighs you down, presses you to the earth. And you wonder why. Why me? My suffering seems disproportionate to those around me. And God is quiet. Even for days, weeks, months, perhaps years. And yet you try to remain faithful. And you wait for that breakthrough, but nothing comes. So you search yourself. Have I done something wrong? And you do your checklists. And you say, okay, I'm not perfect, but I can see my checklists are there and intact. I've been merciful for the poor. I've been gracious. Made a covenant with my eyes. Fed people that were in need and were hospitable. Was hospitable. Yeah. Rebecca Day, sometimes I'm deserving and sometimes I'm not, but forgiveness is my fortress. Wow, what a statement. Victoria Sayers, why not me? We've got some wise sages in the room tonight. Yeah, why not? Why does it always have to be someone else? Here's the fact. Okay, I promised God I would never give up my faith regardless of what I go through. I vet to God all the time, but faith keeps me going true. Wow, now you're really weighing in, aren't you? Job seasons can make you so battle weary and painful, especially why it's really a trial of faith. By the way, see, look what I can do. I can actually highlight these. It seems common in suffering to attribute that we've been displeased, that we've displeased God, but that's not always the case. Sometimes we have to go through those trials. These are very well-written, succinct statements that I'm finding here in the chat. Here is a very healthy verse from Sylvia. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Okay, this is always nice to throw this. This kind of Job is a character that we could certainly look up to and emulate. I like doing this. We should support, help, and love each other as brothers and sisters in the church so people outside will seek the Lord. But unfortunately, this is lacking. Why? Prayer alone is not enough. Melina is honest, and she's right. Action after you pray. Here's one. You can see these rolling in the chat, but I'm highlighting them. I've learned to pour out my heart to God, though in reverence, and had family mock my beliefs, and I have prayed for them. Really? So your family mocks your beliefs. I also know that they were mocking Jesus, and I didn't take it personally. Good. Boom. Truth bomb from Kathy. I have learned, still learning, so am I, that God's grace is sufficient. And so it was for Job. We have one more chapter to go, my friends. We are going over to Ephesians chapter 5. And total change of topic here for this, as we left off last week from chapter 4, I believe it was. Now we're in chapter 5. Speaking of grace and action. How appropriate it is we read this chapter for our last few minutes. Ready? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma, reflecting back in the days of the tabernacle and temple when they would offer sacrifices and God would smell them. We are those sacrifices, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. And I think we've all done those things. But rather, contrast conjunction, rather, giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Quite a contrast to Job, actually. These people intentionally rejoice within their sin. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And if you do expose, you will be a quote-unquote hater. You see how the devil twists the reality? For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whoever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. What does that mean? Days are evil. Write it. Let's have a discussion. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, quoting Genesis. In the Hebrew, it says, the two shall be glued, joined, welded, and become, and the phrase in Hebrew is, basal had is the Hebrew word for one. And it's the same word used of the oneness of God. How can you have oneness with two persons, a man and a woman? How can you? Well, the Hebrew word leaves for what we call composite unity, oneness. And it's the same word, echad, that's used in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 4. Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, echad. Just a little fact there for you. So you have three persons in one, composite unity. And it's the same foundation of a man and female coming together and becoming one. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Notice how the New King James Version interchanges respect with submission. All right. In our closing time, let's see what sages we have out there. After reading this passage, after Job, it seems appropriate. It gives us kind of a pathway forward. Resist the evil. Don't go back to where you were. And focus on the light. Don't be afraid to expose the evil. And by the way, that's what Charlie Kirk did, and that's what we're going to do more of in Behold Israel, especially with the young adults of the world. Let's put this up here. I think this is worthy of note, Melissa, and it's I know that I put you up here already once. My salvation, and you put it all in capitals, so it's really clear, huh? My salvation relationship with Yeshua is more important than anything, prayer and being in the scriptures. So my question to you, Melissa, is how did you come to that point? Probably wasn't always like that. So what led you to that point? Because not everybody is at that level. Some people are fighting to get there, but if we're honest, some of us are really honest, we just aren't there yet. Was it a trial? Was it something that happened? Was it just God chose to give you the passion? Was it you'd made a decision? I'd love to know. Karen Jones, I know I beat myself up over the choices I've made in my life. Yes, me too. Mm. I blame myself for my own divorce and my daughters. I had strayed from God and caused these. It has been a long road back. You know, are you sure it's okay? So we all have our role, but I hope that you're not over-owning what happened. I hope you're not over-owning. I hope that you're not taking more responsibility for it than you should. And remember, you're in good hands here. A lot of us can make a massive list off the top of our heads right now of regrets that we've serious regrets even. Lifelong consequential regrets. You've identified yours and you were open enough to share that, and I respect that and honor that. You've got the guts. You have the courage to shake the hands with reality. You just don't overown things, but I don't know, so I'm just asking. Okay, I like this. And I hope you don't mind me throwing your comments up there, but anyway, they're in the chat, so everyone can see them. Taking my time scrubbing the chat room. Wow. Now, Melissa comes back. I've lost all my family because of my belief. That is the cost of following Yeshua. Wow, really? Really, wow. I'm kind of stunned. Cheryl German. When my 27-year-old son died, my firstborn, everyone abandoned me but God. Okay, I didn't see that coming. Okay, so I'm sorry. Maybe we can say this and we can pray and close. And I'm going to use you, Christine, as a kind of a summary statement here. God is in the business of picking anyone up from the rock bottom if they call on him. Let's do that. I feel the pain, and I want you all to know that you are loved. You are important. You matter. Somebody said that there's a theme of forgiveness and grace. We're all in the fight together. The fact that you chose to be here tonight is a beautiful thing. You could have done many other things. My prayer is that the Lord would minister to each one of us, no matter what we've been through. Each of our pain is different. So Lord, as you minister to all of our hearts. As we've looked at Job and we've looked at Ephesians, do your work in our hearts. Provide healing. Renew passion where it needs to be renewed. Fuel it where there is passion. And allow us to pursue you and not give up. As we look at Job, and he did finish the race. I can't wait to get to those final chapters. So thank you for the honesty of the room. Thank you for the ministry that I saw happen between each of the members here. And I pray that you would bless each one in a way that they've never, ever been blessed before. Bring us back next week for more in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now let's do this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Peace. We'll see you next week, my friends. Smile. Remember what you have. You have the creator of the universe. The one who conquered sin, death, and demonic forces in a weekend, living inside of you. A future hope that is secure. A future leadership plan that is secure. A future without pain or struggle, secure. We're not there yet. Stay in it. Stay in it. We're not done yet. Okay? Until next week, we shall return and listen to the scriptures even more. God bless you all. Good night.